It was the walk through the trees that reminded him of the dream. Stuckley was used to the trees, as was Caleb, who walked beside him. After all, he tended an orchard for a living, so trees were, in a very real sense, his life. But walking through them now, for this reason, for this purpose, it didn't feel right. Again, though, his mind drifted back to the dream that had started it all. The dream where he awoke with a start, a feeling of panic in his belly, and a sense of dread so overwhelming it might have been a sack of field stones tied to his shoulders. His dream had been one of devastation, of loss and tragedy. Half his orchard had withered and died. Half his livelihood, half his purpose, half his worth. And sitting there on his straw cot, covered in sweat and heavy with foreboding, he had tried to tell himself that it was all just a dream. But it hadn't been in the end, had it? He and Caleb worked their way through the trees, and this time his mind wandered to Sarah. Sarah had been the first to go, over 18 months before. One afternoon, she had wandered over to the old graveyard, as she had done so many times before. She would read books there and daydream there. She would recline on the old stone slabs and become lost in her thoughts and books of poetry. The fever had moved through her like a wildfire, and before Stuckley knew it, she had gone back to the graveyard. But she would stay there this time. No books of poetry, no daydreams, no reclining in the cool spring air. Sarah was gone and would never return. The trees around Stuckley and Caleb began to thin. So had his family, actually. One by one, each child had taken ill. Never two at once. No, that would have been too easy. One night of anguish and grief for half a dozen sons and daughters would have been hard, but it would have been bearable. For him, though, the loss had been spread out. First a daughter, then a son, and then another, and another. One by one, his orchard withered away. Fever and a heavy chest, pale skin that looked more like bone than flesh, each consumed in their own turn, and each death consumed another piece of him, too. There were no more trees now. Those were behind them. Before them now lay the clearing, and then the low stone wall. But as they walked slowly across the grass, Stuckley couldn't help but think of his wife, who lay dying back at their home. She was all he had now, and she too was slipping away. But he knew what to do. He knew how to help her. He learned it by listening to the trees. Each one whispered as they passed. Each child spoke the same words from behind their veil of fear and wasting. It was always the same. Always the same. "I see her," they would each tell him. "I see her there, waiting for me. She sits on the edge of the bed and watches me. She's come back for me." And Stuckley asked them all, "Who? Who's come for you?" Caleb stepped over the low stone wall first, and then took the shovel from Stuckley's hand and helped the older man climb over to join him. Of course, he had known the answer before he'd even asked. Sarah. She'd come back for the others. Each one admitted it. Each one believed it to be true. Each one of his children had wept with fear as the fever consumed their body. As they lay helpless in bed, each watched over by their dead sister. Now, she was back for his wife. Stuckley walked to the corner of the graveyard he knew far too well, and plunged the blade of the shovel into the soil. She always came back from here, after all. She always ended her daydreams and poetry by returning home. Why should now be any different? But now was different. Now this was her home. This was where she needed to be. Not in his home. Not at the bedside of his wife. Not laying waste to his orchard, one sibling at a time. No. Sarah was in the graveyard. And that was where she needed to stay. Caleb helped him pry off the lid of the coffin, and then he walked away. Stuckley needed to do the rest on his own. She didn't look dead. She didn't look like a corpse more than 18 months in the ground. She looked well rested. She looked peaceful. She looked beautiful. But the hunting knife in his hand was already doing its work. He knew it shouldn't, but her heart bled as he pulled it free from her chest. It bled as if it had just stopped beating. It bled dark and red and slick. And then he set it on fire. That's what you do, after all, isn't it? When you need to cut down a tree, you burn the stump. You burn the roots. You take away its foothold in the orchard, and it won't come back. He wanted nothing more than for Sarah to come back again, for all his children to come back again. But he knew it wasn't possible. All he knew was that his wife could be saved. And so he watched the flames blacken the heart of his oldest daughter there on the stone slab where she once reclined in the springtime sun. And he wept.